by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. This is another episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. In this week, we're going to speak about the meaning of tawassul, or resorting to Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Today, Wednesday, is the 15th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Retreat Calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Azar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of November, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to verse 103 of chapter 3 and then listen to the point of it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu. واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون.
And hold firmly to the rope of Allah altogether, and do not become divided. And remember the favor of Allah upon you when you were enemies and He brought your hearts together and you became, by His favor, brothers. And you were on the edge of a pit of the fire and He saved you from it. Thus does Allah make clear to you His verses that you may be guided.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, the ultimate subject, which is the problem of unity and standing against any separation, is referred to. The opinions are divided among the commentators as to the meaning of the term the court of Allah. And in Islamic literature, there are also varieties of narrations about it. But there is no difference in the basic meaning of them, because the purpose of the court of Allah is any means of connection with the pure essence of Allah, where it be the Quran, the Prophet, or his progeny, Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim. وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
During the previous episodes of today's special, we opened one subject, and that was the answer of this question: what is the meaning of tawassul, or resorting to Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them? And the continuation of the answer, we can say some people claim that asking for help to other than Allah is polytheism. Such people should never go to doctor when they become sick, because this is polytheism or shirk. That going to doctor is a type of seeking a help from a specialist, even though they do not say by their tongue that they are getting help from the doctor. Acting shirk is enough. Also, they should not ask any question from anyone or request anything from anyone, because all these are shirk. Furthermore, they shouldn't eat any food, because they should not help themselves by any other than Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Today we are going to talk about the concept of tawassul, that is, resorting to the intermediary. Some specific people can intercede with Allah by His permission, but this is not granted to every people. Now, I'd like to give also more references from hadith in Sunni sources and Sunni collections in this regard. The first reference is on the tawassul of Ibn Abbas to Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please note that Ibn Abbas spoke the following words after the martyrdom of Imam Ali. Thus, he did ask for intermediary of what you called a dead person. When the death time of Abdullah ibn Abbas approached, he said, "O Allah, I seek to approach toward you by means of wilayah, accepting the mastery of Ali ibn Abi Talib." You can find this hadith and narration in Fada'il al-Sahaba by Ahmad ibn Hanbal, volume 2, page 662, tradition number 1129. Please note that Ibn Abbas died in 68 or 687, which was 28 years after the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam. If resorting or tawassul to a dead was considered association of shirk, then Ibn Abbas would not dare to say so, and Ahmad ibn Hanbal would not have recorded it. As for resorting to a life, Al-Bukhari reported that Umar, the second caliph, used tawassul to Al-Abbas for rain. It can be found again in Sahih al-Bukhari, and as narrated Anas, whenever there was drought, Umar ibn al-Khattab used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain through Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, saying, "O Allah, we used to request our Prophet to ask you for rain, and you would give us. Now we request the uncle of our Prophet to ask you for rain. So give us rain." And they would be given rain.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
In this part, more about love for Ahlul Bayt that puts hearts at rest. Love for Ahlul Bayt not only resolves difficulties at the point of death and the hereafter, but also relieves worldly problems. One of the blessings of the love for Ahlul Bayt is that it puts the hearts at rest, which is a blessing for the man who lives in this world and anxiety and restlessness. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, says, when the verse, chapter 13, verse 28 of the Holy Quran says, "Now surely by Allah's remembrance are the hearts set at rest," was revealed. Allah's Messenger said, "This is about who one loves Allah and His Messenger, loves my Ahlul Bayt truly and not falsely, loves believers both in the past and in the future. By Allah's remembrance, they love one another." Truly, one whose love for Allah, the Holy Prophet, Ahlul Bayt, and the believers is true has tranquility and peace of mind. Any trader, thieves, oppressors, usurpers, bribe-takers, usurers, ogles, adulterers, corrupts, defrauders, deceivers, and sinners can never enjoy peace of mind and tranquility. However, the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, who are clean from all these pollutions, enjoy peace of mind and their hearts are set at rest. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi. Why is it necessary for the Imam to be infallible? This is the question of this part of today's special. As with the Prophet, the Imam is a protector of religion, hence the necessity of his infallibility. The reason being that both theoretical and practical protection are his responsibility, which can clearly only be achieved through infallibility from both sin, both for the practical part, and error and forgetfulness for the theoretical part. If the Imam was not to be infallible, he would surely at least make mistakes, if not sin, and that would be mean his failure in protecting and explaining a portion of religion, which would mean that portion isn't of importance to Allah, while we are sure that isn't the case, because all of religion is important to him, and that is why he has sent a prophet to transfer it in its entirety to us. One of the reasons for having an imam is for him to guide the people and prevent them from making mistakes. If the imam is to also make mistakes, then how is he supposed to help others? In that case, he himself will be in need of another imam to notify him of his own mistakes, and so on and so forth. This series of imams must eventually end with an imam that is actually infallible.
We believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the prophet, and he will remain the prophet till the day of judgment. Although physically he's dead, but his message, his spirit, his influence is there. And this is why we mention him. If Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had been expired, then why do we have to mention him in the adhan? Why in the adhan we say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah? Why do we mention him in the iqamah before the prayers? Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Why do we mention him and salute him? As-salamu alayka ayyuha an-nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When we conclude the prayers, if the Prophet is dead and he is unable to hear or communicate and he does not get our message, then it's a futile. It's waste of time if you greet him. But it is part of the prayers in both the traditions, in the Sunni tradition and the Shia tradition. We greet the Prophet, we salute him during our prayers. So this means they can hear you and God will give them permission. Tawassul is not rivalry with God. Tawassul does not believe that you believe that the Prophet is an ilah or the Lord or God and he can do the function instead of God. He can help you away from God, independently from God. He possesses a power that he rivals God, and then you don't need God. This is not the meaning of tawassul. The meaning of tawassul is that you believe this is the messenger of God, God has given him certain privileges and rights and jurisdictions, and God wants you to go to him so he can facilitate the journey to God. So the Prophet can facilitate your journey to God through the Prophet, through him. He will make that journey easy. And you acknowledge his position. When you go to him, you don't forget about him. Because if we don't go to the Prophet, we forget that there was someone called... Muhammad becomes only history. He becomes irrelevant in our contemporary life. You don't pay attention to him. He becomes someone not important. But when we go to him and we ask for his intercession, we beg him to intercede on our behalf to God, this is an acknowledgement that he's important. He's still the messenger of God. He's still the gate of mercy for mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you so much for your company, and till another episode and another meeting, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami, Lafata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. Here is an admonition worth pondering upon from the noblest lady of all times, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. You, the servants of Allah, are the ones to maintain his injunctions and prohibitions, as the carriers of his religion and his revelation, and the propagators of his religion among other nations.
Thank you.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. This hadith is about the lady Fatimah al-Zahra, his daughter, salamullah alayha. Now, as you know, we are currently in the Ayyam-e-Fatimiyah. These are the days in which the lady Fatima was martyred and she passed away. Those who are fond of that noble lady mourn her demise because, as you know, these days are fall between 2 days about which it has been narrated that she, the lady Fatima, was martyred and she passed away in one of those days. According to one narration, a weaker narration, she passed away on one of those days. And according to a stronger narration, she passed away on a day at the end of these Ayyam-e-Fatimiyah, these days of mourning. And here at IRIB English Radio and Hadith of the Day, we would like to offer our esteemed listeners condolences on this grave and very sad day. Now, there are many virtues have been narrated regarding the Lady Fatima. And today, on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at one of these noble hadiths, some of these virtues which have been narrated in this prophetic hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Verily, Fatima is a part of me. She's an extension of me. She is a part of me. Right? And is the light of my eyes." Right, so obviously, the same respect that, we show, all Muslims show towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that same respect should be shown to his daughter, and she deserves the same respect as him. And he also said, she's the light of my eyes and the fruit of my heart. This is an expression that the Arabs mentioned when, they wanted to express the utmost admiration and love for something. He said that this person or this thing is the light of my eyes and the fruit of my heart. Nuru aini wa samaratu fuadi. Whatever grieves her grieves me. Right? if she becomes angry at something, if she becomes sad at about something, that same grief and same sadness, you know, I feel the same sadness and grief that she does about that thing. And this implies that in the same way that we are prohibited from, we have been prohibited from angering the Prophet, from doing something that would sadden him and grieve him, we should also abstain from doing something that would grieve that noble lady and make her sad. Whatever pleases her, pleases me. Finally, the Prophet ﷺ said, "And indeed, she will be the first to join me after my death from my household." This is a prediction, you know, that the Prophet made, and it came to true. It came true after the Prophet died. The first of his household to pass away after him and join him was indeed his daughter, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. Thank you for joining us here again on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtues of the Lady Fatima in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج.
السلام عليكم, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really, really happy that I have Ali Nasir, Brother Ali Nasir, Brother Hussein Rohullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider once again. I really welcome you all. Salamu alaikum, brothers, and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
How are you, Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. Alhamdulillah. Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Fawad?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So, everyone is fine, alhamdulillah, and ready to start our today's lesson. Inshallah, today we'll talk about Ayah 73rd from Surah Al-An'am on page 136. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, hope you have your Quran. Turn to page 136, Ayah 73 of Surah Al-An'am. Let's listen everyone to the recitation first.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa huwa alladhi khalaqas samawati wal arda bil haqq wa yawma yaqulu kun fayakun. Qawluhu al haqq. وله الملك يوم ينفخ في الصور عالم الغيب والشهادة وهو الحكيم الخبير.
Nice recitation, mashallah. Let's see what Allah Almighty says in Ayah 73rd of Surah Al-An'am, a beautiful ayah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah Almighty says in this ayah, وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ. It is He who created the heavens and the earth with reason. He refers to Allah Almighty. وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And the day He says to something, be, it is. وَلَهُ الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ. His word, قَوْلُهُ الْحَقِّ, I forgot this one. قَوْلُهُ الْحَقِّ, His word is the truth. وَلَهُ الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ. And to Him belongs all sovereignty and all power on the day when the trumpet will be blown. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ, knower of the sensible and the unseen. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ, He is the all-wise and the all-aware. So this ayah talks about many instances of tawheed. All right? Tawheed in creation. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Tawheed in we can say power, okay? Power. And also tawheed in wisdom, tawheed in also knowledge, okay? About the attributes of Allah Almighty. Basically, tawheed means you believe in one God. And now, not only believing there is one God, but also believing in His attributes, in His reality. This one God is the all-powerful. This one God is the all-wise. This one God is the all-knowledgeable. This one God is the all-hearing. This one God is the all-seeing, okay? The all-forgiving, the all-merciful. So, all the beautiful attributes you can count, you can understand, they belong to Allah Almighty. And Allah Almighty is the source of this. Okay? So here also some of the attributes are mentioned. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ. Not only Muslims, not only believers to Allah Almighty believe in this, that Allah Almighty is the one who has created the earth and the skies or the heaven. But also the pagans, the infidels, the disbelievers in the time, in the early time of Islam, when Prophet ﷺ used to ask them, okay, that why don't you believe? They were saying, we don't believe. We believe in these gods, okay? We believe, we worship these gods, the idols or the statues, okay? Asnam, okay? Yes. But in reality, they believed in God. Huh? لَإِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If you ask them, who has created the sky, the heavens and the earth? What do they say? لَيَقُولَنَّ اللَّهِ. They will say, Allah has created. So why are you worshipping these idols? They would say, because this is sensible. We don't see God, we don't hear Him, that's why we worship this, and we ask this, Asnam, to help us, okay? As a kind of sensible God, yeah? Because the God that we believe in actual and reality, He is unseen from us. We can't see Him. We don't have access to Him. How is it possible? Your Lord, you don't have access to Him? This is impossible, yes? Tawheed says, your Lord is accessible. Your Lord is there. Everywhere. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to you, nearer to you, like nearer than your vein, the vein in your throat, your neck. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. So our Lord is this. Our belief is this, that Allah Almighty is accessible. Of course, you can see because He is not a body like human body. You can physical body He doesn't have, okay? All right? we have the reasons why he doesn't have physical body, why you can't touch him. Huh? There are reasons because physical body needs to be limited, while Allah Almighty is not limited.
Unlimited.
For example, this mobile phone, when you see, this is limited. How much size does it have? For example, say 12 centimeters height. The height, okay? 12 centimeters, okay? And the weight, for example, 6 centimeters. So, tell me the size of Allah Almighty. Can you say? No. That's why he doesn't have physical body. Because physical body requires to be limited. Brings limitation, okay? While Allah Almighty is not limited. He is unlimited. So, in the next part of this ayah, Allah says, وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. Look, Allah Almighty, if He intends something, to create something, it's created. His intention is the creation itself. When Allah says, كُنْ بِ, should be created, that thing is created.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran?
الله حمتني غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات.
Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي.
Guys, refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for more information. It's time to mention some Tajweed rules, and inshallah, we'll end our class soon. Recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farj.
Wa huwa alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal arda bil haqq. Heavy letters really matter. Khalaqa, arda. Heavy letters. Pronounce them heavily. حق قلقلة. وهو الذي ذال أرض طاد خا. The pronunciations. Remember them. بالحق. So, here we have a word called سلا on the top of بالحق. You see that. And also down there, next in the next part of the ayah, you have a baby jim on the top of the words. فيكون. You have a jim. And قَوْلُهُ الْحَقِّ, you have a jim, a baby jim. Like this baby jim, okay? Tiny jim, you have صِلَة. Hassan will explain these two different stopping signs. Hassan, what does صِلَة tell us?
This صِلَة tells us that it's better to continue here, like join the first letter with the second letter.
Good. The words before to the words after.
Yes.
Better to join. But you can stop. Huh?
Yes, you can
make a pause. Okay, next, Jim.
And this Jim tells us that it's optional to pause or to continue here.
Good job. Jim tells you optional to stop, to make a pause, or continue reading. Good job. Thank you. So, وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. The noon and the word kun should be hidden.
Yes.
كُنْ فَيَكُونْ كُنْ. Hide the sound of noon. قَوْلُهُ الْحَقُّ وَلَهُ الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ. Again, hide the sound of noon. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّور. When you stop, صُور, ra must be pronounced.
Heavy.
صُور. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. غَيْبِ. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. خَبِير. Ra, with light sound here. Because it has a kasra sound before. So these are the rules, very simple, not difficult. I will be reciting this ayah. Make sure, inshallah, you repeat after me. All right?
Yes.
Dear listeners, yes. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us up to this time, the last part of our class, the recitation. Let's practice. Listen and repeat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وهو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق
وهو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق
ويوم يقول كن فيكون
ويوم يقول كن فيكون
You can make a pause or you can continue next. The next stopping sign, the gym, we'll skip it, okay? We'll continue.
قوله الحق وله الملك يوم ينفخ في الصور قوله الحق وله الملك يوم ينفخ في الصور
عالم الغيب والشهادة
عالم الغيب والشهادة
عالم الغيب والشهادة
عالم الغيب والشهادة
وهو الحكيم الخبير
وهو الحكيم الخبير
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Ahsantum. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Allah bless you. Thank you so much for being with us. I hope you stay with Arab English Radio in the coming sessions, inshallah, every day the same time. Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir and Fawad. Thank you so much. Thanks to Arab English Radio, Sevier International School. That's all from us for today. Wassalamu alaikum. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma. صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The ocean of dua.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach towards supplication and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran. And we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us. Brothers and sisters, as you were with us in the previous episodes, we reached this concept that there is one important thing in the supplications, which is the different objectives being followed throughout different supplications by the infallible imams. I mean, when we look at the different parts of the supplications, transmitted supplications specifically from the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we find different objectives being followed. Okay, so we mentioned a couple of those objectives, and we said that there are some practical and ethical instructions found in these supplications, and this is not something deniable. And this is especially true in the case of Sahifatu Sajjadiyya. We were saying that we will look at some of the instructions of these infallible imams, specifically regarding Sahifatu Sajjadiyya. For example, one of the things which is sufficiently discussed is the ethical virtues and vices, and of course, at the same time, recognizing Satan and the ways to keep away from him. I mean, the ways Satan can be prevented from entering our world, our minds and thoughts and our deeds. We have been ordered to keep away from the Satan and to protect ourselves against him, to have any kind of control over our souls. This is something vital to us because disregarding any of the commands of these great ones, of these divine men of the Ahlul Bayt, may cause men to deteriorate. And this shows the importance of it.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo kashti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. آب کم جو تشنگی آور به دست. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. تا بجوشد آب از بالا و پس. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God and the merciful God will come towards you.
It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable. Knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So, one of the practical aspects of the supplications is that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has mentioned the dangers of the Satan. He has said that he is a foe whose stronghold is our breast, whose movement is into our blood vessels, and whose weapon is our doubts. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says that through these sentences, Satan is thoroughly introduced so that man can defend himself against his bloody attacks, and somehow these supplications enable all the human beings to nullify the aggression of Satan. Of course, this supplication belongs to an imam who is in the stronghold of Almighty Allah, of course, and Satan can never take hold of him. So, evidently, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has offered these commands for the people. So, one of these commands for the people is treating the others and observing the rights of the neighbors. For example, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam explains the ethical virtues and vices, and of course has different opinions about the government. And this is the different features of the supplications. We will have a look at these practical aspects found in the different parts of the supplications of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in different parts of our episode. So the point is that what we can find is, in fact, that of course Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was infallible, but the things he has provided in the form of supplication is for us to take benefit, is for us to enter the world of intuition with the words and guidances of one infallible imam like Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and make the most of these practical instructional issues Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has provided for us. So Imam Sajjad tells us to recognize Satan. Imam Sajjad teaches us the different methods to keep Satan away from us. Imam Sajjad tells us what rights we have for our children and what rights they also have for us. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam teaches us the different methods to respect our parents, and Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is using all these practical issues in the form of supplication. And this is only due to the situations of that time Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was living in. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Majad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the studio again.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. Well, Sheikh Javid, we are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws about marriage, actually.